Good evening, everyone. We last week discussed the blessing in the Shemona Esrei of Re'eva Anyenu, the blessing of redemption, which again in the art scroll that we have in front of us is on page 102. It's the blessing on the bottom of the page. And I would like to again speak about this bracha, speak about this blessing, and add a little bit more to it. Now, let's read the blessing again. Re'eva anyenu, behold our affliction, v'riva rivenu, which they translate as take up our grievance. Others have translated it as fight our battles. U'goleinu mehera lama'an shemecha, and redeem us speedily for your name's sake. Ki goyel chazak atar, for you are a powerful redeemer. Baruch atah Hashem, bless you Hashem, goyel Yisrael, redeemer of Israel. And last week we went through how Rabbi Kirzner, in his book on Tefillah, goes through this blessing. And now I'd like to go through it in a similar way, but in the way that Rabbi Shimon Schwab Zatzal explains this blessing. Now, it's interesting because whenever I always assumed, and perhaps there are those who actually interpret this blessing that way, that this blessing was actually, when we talk about here redemption, and we talk about affliction and grievances, that I always thought it was talking about personal problems, personal issues, that we should redeem from our personal problems. But that's not how, so far, I haven't seen anybody interpret it like that. Whoever interprets it, interprets this blessing, that it's coming on redemption of the Jewish people. But it's not redemption of the Jewish people at Mashiach, because that we discuss later. This is actually, as we've said last week, this is redemption within exile. That even when we're still in exile, we still have to experience redemption. And last week, the focus was primarily on redemption from the spiritual challenges that we face in Golus. When we're in exile, the environment of exile pulls us away from serving Hashem. And we ask Hashem to protect us from those influences. Rabbi Shimon Schwab approaches it on a, call it more, not a spiritual level as much as a physical level, in the sense of being redeemed from the dangers that we face in Golus, in exile. Dangers in the physical sense, the real physical dangers that we face in Golus. And this has been our story in Golus in exile for thousands of years. That wherever it is that we land up, there's a certain amount of time that things seem to settle down and be good, and then things steadily get worse until we're thrown out. And this is a pattern that we face while we are in exile. And as Rav Schwab puts it, Rav Schwab starts in his discussion about, so that's what this bracha is about. This bracha, where we're talking about that Hashem should redeem us, it means redeem us from the enemies, from the nations of the world that we face in Golus, who hate us and want to destroy us and want to afflict us. This is the redemption that we seek in this blessing. We're still in Golus, And we're not talking about Mashiach's times yet. But we are still praying that when we're in Golus, we should be redeemed from all the trials and tribulations that we face at the hands of the nations, that we live amongst them in Golus. This is the redemption that we seek. And Reb Schwab, when he begins his discussion, Reb Shimon Schwab, was from Germany, and he came to the United States in 1936. When he left Germany, the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, already were in power. And he already had his experiences with them. As a matter of fact, I read somewhere that Rabbi Schwab, at a certain point of time, he was the rabbi of a city, and there was a point of time that he always went to sleep with his clothing on. He went to sleep fully dressed because he never knew because he wanted to be ready one night they would bang on his door and drag him out. They shouldn't drag him out in his night clothing, but he should be dragged out in a respectful way. That's the kind of situation he found himself in. And he writes that when Hitler Yimach Shemo came into power, nobody took it that serious. They thought it was going to be a passing thing. Yet, here was this guy. He showed up, made a lot of the government clearly had some terrible anti-Semitic decrees, but they thought it was going to pass. That's what a lot of people thought. There were some people who, as soon as he came into power, they already, you know, smelled what's going to happen, and they left. Most people didn't leave. It was too hard to leave. And they talked it into themselves that this too shall pass. And if this was the attitude that people had in Germany, how much more so when you're talking about the attitude of people that were living further east when you talk about Poland and other countries, where again, they heard about what was going on, and perhaps Roy Schwab said, they knew that they're not going to go to Germany because of what's going on there, but they figured in Poland, wherever they are, they'll be okay. And it didn't take long. It took, after a number of years, you know, the Eastern Europe was conquered by the Nazis, and we know what they did to the Jews there. So when we go ahead, and it's interesting also that, so when he came, so he had to run from Germany, and he came to the United States in 1936. And he writes that he asked some, and he said, this is not what he wrote, this is actually classes that he gave that somebody put into writing. And he writes that when he arrived in America, having just left Nazi Germany, he said he asked someone who was already in America for 40 years before him about anti-Semitism in America. What's it like? The person's response was, nobody likes us, but some don't hate us. That's what he wrote then. That's 1936. Okay? Is it better now? Is it the same? It's so hard to go ahead and tell and read and see what's going on. We know that things are not getting better when it comes to anti-Semitism all around the world. But this is what Rav Schwab says is really our focus in this bracha. The focus in this bracha of Geula, redemption, is redemption from the affliction that we face at the hands of the nations who we live amongst, who in one way or another don't take a liking to us and make us problems. So we turn to Hashem and we say, Re'eva Anyenu, see our affliction. That means see our misery. Look, meaning sometimes things happen in a situation where it never is that Hashem doesn't see what's going on, but it seems like he's, you know, not looking, not we're facing so many troubles that it seems like he's not looking at us. He's not watching over us, or he's kind of left us to the enemies. So we plead to Hashem, Re'eva Anyenu, see our affliction, take notice of us. V'riva rivenu, and fight our battles. Why are we asking Hashem to fight our battles? Because we're saying we can't battle them. We're too weak. We are too weak to do it. We think that nowadays we have enough within our power, whether it be here in America, and I will go as far as to say, or in Eretz Yisrael, we think that we have everything in control, that, you know, we can take care of ourselves. Well, history shows us that it's not that way, although some people would say we never had a state of Israel, so it's different. But at the end of the day, when we're in Golis, we are never in full control of our situation. But whatever it may be, looking at the situation that Chazal gave us, that the way Chazal looked at, where our sages looked at our state in exile, they said they made a bracha that we say throughout our time in exile. It's where we say Reva Anyena Variva Rivain. We say Hashem Karla Karls. We can't fight our battles. We can't do it on our own. No matter what anybody thinks, we cannot do it on our own. We need you to fight our battles. Now, what's very interesting to note is that if you look back in your Art Scroll Center and you turn the page to page 104, you will see that on the top of page 104, there is the gray box with a prayer of Anenu. And Anenu is a prayer that we say on a Tanis, on a fast day. And in Shacharis, this prayer of Anenu is inserted when the Chazan repeats the Shemona Esrei. And we say Anenu when we daven Mincha. So if we take, let's take a quick read of it. Let's read part of it. And we'll do it with the English translation. Anenu Hashem Anenu. Answer us, Hashem, answer us. B'yom tzom taniseinu. On the day of our fast, ki betzara gadoy la'anachtu, for we are in great distress. What kind of distress are we in? We're in Galus. We're in exile. And we're in distress. We have many enemies. Al tefen el rishenu. Do not pay attention to our wickedness. Val taster panecha mimenu. Do not hide your face from us. Vatisalam et chinasenu. And do not ignore our supplication. Heyeino karvel shavaisenu. Please be near to our outcry. Yino chastachol anachamenu. Please let your kindness comfort us. Terem nikra elecha anenu. Before we call to you, answer us. Now let's focus on the sentence the second sentence, where we say, do not pay attention to our wickedness. You know, this is something we may say very often, and we may not really take the full impact of what this is saying. Here we are on a fast day, begging Hashem to answer us because we're in great distress. The first thing we say to Hashem is, don't pay attention to our wickedness. That means there's an assumption here that we're wicked. There's an assumption here that there's something wrong on our part. And that is the truth. Because whatever, if we face any kind of problem, if we face any kind of affliction at the hands of our enemies, or whatever matter that is, our assumption has to be, what happens by children, I can't answer that question. But other than children, when you're dealing with the adults, if a person is suffering, it doesn't happen without sin. It doesn't happen without our shortcomings. It doesn't happen because we have not lived up to our way of serving Hashem that we have. And therefore, when we talk about our tzaris, our affliction, our travails, our problems, the first thing we say is, "Al teif el rishenu," we beg Hashem, don't look at our evil, don't look at our wickedness. We recognize it's our shortcomings, our spiritual shortcomings, our failures in service to Hashem. We realize that that is the cause. That's the primary cause. That's the primary cause. This is something that we have to always take into account. If there is suffering, that means there is something on our part that we're not doing right. And therefore, we say to Hashem, don't look at it. We beg Hashem, have rachmanis, don't look at our evil. And still have mercy on us. Al teifen el rishenu, don't turn to our evil, v'atasmech mimenu, and don't, as a result of that evil, hide your face from us. And don't ignore our supplications. Be close to our cries. Let your kindness be there to comfort us even before we call you, answer us. So what we're saying here is, in this bracha gives us this addition that we do on a fast day, gives us some very important insight into what is it that is the cause of these afflictions and problems that we face in Golus. And it makes a lot of sense that our request for redemption comes after the request for forgiveness. Because if we really want to be able to merit redemption, we need to be forgiven for our sins after we do tshuva. Okay? So, we ask Hashem, see our affliction, fight our battles. We can't do it on our own. Ugolenu mehera l'man shemecha, and redeem us speedily for your name's sake. And this means we ask Hashem to redeem us. We're not talking about Mashiach here when we say redeem us. We're talking about the problems and travails that we face in exile. We say to Hashem, look at it. We say to Hashem, battle our enemies. We don't have the strength to battle them. And after battling them, redeem us. Free us from these problems. We've been through many, many different problems at the hands of the nations of the world, and we're in Golus. And Baruch Hashem, we are able to see that we face certain problems, and then we're redeemed, and we can be redeemed. We've been redeemed. You look at what happened. I mean, World War II, the Holocaust was a terrible, terrible thing, and it's something that we will never recover from. At the same time, we were redeemed from those people who were trying to kill us then. We were redeemed. And we were able to restart our lives in Eretz Yisrael and America. We're able to do these things. But at the same time, we always have to be aware that the potential for trouble is always there. We're redeemed in Golus from that period of affliction, that period of suffering that we may go through. We can be redeemed from it. And we ask Hashem to redeem us from it. But we realize that we're still in exile, and in exile, there's never guarantees. And, you know, nowadays, this makes so much sense. You know, we look around the world, what's going on, anti-Semitism, the way it's growing in the world. We see that there's never that there's a point of time. You know, we've gone through so many years in the United States, pretty much safe and pretty much well. And recently, people have been a problem walking in the street in New York, and they get attacked. And they get attacked in New York, in the most Jewish neighborhoods that you have in Brooklyn. People were getting attacked. And Baruch Hashem, it seems to have quieted down now. But it's been going on. In Europe, it's even worse, what's going on with anti-Semitism there. And we still see, there's still plenty going on. The swastikas and different types of attacks that still go on. At the end of the day, we always have to be aware of, and always have to ask Hashem for his redemption. And this is what we mean when we say the words, Ki goyel chazak atar, for you are a powerful redeemer. That means we say to Hashem, redeem us, because you're a powerful redeemer. We know that throughout exile, you have always been redeeming us. And that is what we say in the blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem Goyel Yisrael. Bless you, Hashem, Redeemer of Israel. Redeemer. Not the one who has redeemed, Redeemer. The one who is constantly redeeming. We're constantly going through the process of redemption because we constantly need to be saved from the troubles that we face at the hands of the people who, in the hands of the countries we're in Goas. We're constantly at their mercy. We constantly are facing problems. We constantly need redemption. And we say to Hashem, when we ask Him for redemption, you are a strong redeemer. We see throughout history how you redeemed us. And blessed are you, Hashem, the redeemer of Israel. You have been the one who has always redeemed us. You continue to redeem us. And we ask you to continue to redeem us. So again, this blessing of the Shemona Esrei is not a bracha about the redemption of Mashiach that comes from Mashiach, but it means the constant redemptions that we need to go through while we are in Golus. And I want to share with you a story that I heard many years ago from my Rebbe, Reb Mendel Kaplan Zatzal. And I hope I remember the details well, but the story goes like this. You know, how we said that people sometimes ignore the situation around them. They can be in a very dangerous situation like in Nazi Germany, and people try to ignore it because they don't want to face the facts. And throughout history, this has happened. Throughout history, we've been attacked, and we have gone through many redemptions. And then there are times where we go through redemptions, and we don't even realize it. We don't even realize the problems we may have been facing. We said Hallel today because it's Reish Chodesh. And in Hallel, we say, Hallelu es Hashem kol goyim. All the nations of the world should praise Hashem. Hallelu Hashem kol goyim. Shabachu kol ha'umim. All peoples praise Him. Ki gavar oleinu chastoy. Because His kindness has been great with us. Ki gavar oleinu chastoy. Hashem has done great kindness with us. So let's put that whole sentence together. We say, nations of the world praise Hashem, for Hashem has been kind with us. Why should the nations of the world praise Hashem? Because Hashem has been kind with us. We should praise Hashem, for He's been kind with us. Nations of the world who are trying to get us and Hashem saves us, they're going to praise Hashem. They're going to probably be angry that they're not able to get what they want. But what it means is that it's our enemies that sometimes recognize Hashem's kindness even more than we do. We may recognize the kindness at one level, but they may recognize the kindness on a much deeper level. Because when they experience and they see how the Jewish people have survived, have been saved, they recognize Hashem's kindness with us even more than we do. So the story that my Rebbe said over was the following. For as much as I remember correctly, but the basic story I have, there was a town in Europe, and there was a very prominent Russian official that was going to be passing through the town, and the whole town was going to come out to greet this person. I think it was a general, perhaps, but it was the kind of person that when he showed up, wasn't the Tsar himself. But he was a very prominent official in the sense that, or maybe he was a general or something, that when he passed through a town, everybody had to come out and show their respect. And it seems that the respect that this town showed for this, we'll call him Russian official, was, and I hope this makes sense, but they gave him a gift. The gift that I remember was they gave him a Sefer Torah that was puzzle. A Sefer Torah that wasn't, you can't be used anymore. They gave it to him. They presented it to him. And he was very moved because he understood the Torah, such an important part of Jewish religion. He was very moved by it. And he turned to the rabbi of the city, and he said to him, in Yiddish it was, Du weißt nicht, was für ein Gott du hast. You don't know what kind of a God you have. That's what the general said to the rabbi. You don't know what kind of a God you have. What does that mean? So he told him the following story, and maybe you've heard this story before. It seems there was a period of time that the Tsar had decided to make some very, very difficult decrees upon the Jewish people. And there was a day in which the papers to make the decree were going to be signed. They had a day. People were waiting in the special room, and the Tsar was going to show up in the room, and when he showed up, he was going to sign the papers. The decrees would now go into practice. Came the day. Everybody's waiting for the Tsar to walk into the room. The door opens. The Tsar walks in. He starts reading the papers. Looks at one paper, tears it up. Looks at another paper, tears it up. And everybody's watching in amazement, like, what's going on here? He goes through all the papers, he tears every single one of them up, and he walks out of the room. And everybody's just stunned. Just stunned. They can't believe it. The Tsar walks into the room. And the Tsar says, where are the papers? So where are the papers, they said to him. You just came in and tore them all up, he said. I wasn't in here. I didn't come in here. And they realized something miraculous had happened here. And that's what this official meant when he said to them, you don't know what kind of a God you have. That's what we say in Tehillim. We say, the nations of the world will praise Hashem because they know more than we do sometimes what Hashem's kindness is with us. But this is what we experience. If this is what David HaMelech is telling us in Hallel, this means this is part of our history. This is what we experience. And this is what we mean when we say to Ribbono Shel Olam, Ki Goyel Chazak Ato, you are a strong redeemer. Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed be Hashem, Goyel Yisrael, redeemer of Israel. Redeemer, as we said, that's in present tense, because there's a constant present redemption going on. And it's very important. This is an important thing to bear in mind, to realize, is that before Shemona Esrei we say Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael. That means blessed are you Hashem who has redeemed the Jewish people, because that's going on the redemption from Egypt. It's incorrect to say here Goal Yisrael, because we're not talking about one specific past redemption. We're specifically saying Goal Yisrael. Hashem is the redeemer. He is constantly redeeming. And if you say Ga'al, it's a mistake. It's a different word, and it's a whole different meaning. I mean, it means redemption. But the point is a whole different point. Ga'al means past. When we talk about the Exodus from Egypt, we say Ga'al Yisrael, who has redeemed. But this bracha is not about leaving Egypt. This bracha is about surviving in Galus, surviving in exile. And that's what we're asking for. So it's a mistake to say Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Okay, so this blessing is a blessing and a request that we should survive, right? That even when we're in Gullus, and it probably makes more sense that we shouldn't be able to survive, that we should still be able to survive. And this idea of the survival of the Jewish people takes actually a very important, has a place in this week's coming parasha, and Parsha's Truma. And Parsha's Truma is where Hashem tells Moshe to construct the Mishkan. And the details of all the vessels of the Mishkan are given. And one of those vessels was the menorah, the candelabra. And Rashi brings down that when Hashem told Moshe the details of the candelabra, he had a hard time. He couldn't get it. He couldn't completely comprehend it. He has a hard time. Everything else Hashem told him, and he could figure it out just from what Hashem said. When it came to the menorah, couldn't do it. Couldn't figure it out. So what did Hashem do? Hashem showed him. Hashem gave him a visual image of the menorah, so that he should be able to see the menorah and be able to figure out what all the parts are and how to construct it. But he didn't show him a picture of a menorah. He showed the menorah that Moshe saw was not a picture of a gold solid menorah, but it was a menorah of fire. Hashem showed Moshe a menorah of fire. That menorah of fire had all the details of the menorah that Hashem told him. But it wasn't. He didn't see a vision of a golden menorah, which is the menorah that was in the tabernacle in the Mishkan, but it was a fiery menorah. So there's two questions. One question is, why did Moshe struggle with the menorah more than any other vessel? Why was this one so hard more than any other one? Because it was more artistic? What was so hard about it? And also, what is the point of showing, if Hashem has to show Moshe the menorah, why a menorah fire? So I saw an answer from the Chafetz Chaim, and this is the way I understood the answer. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu was being told when he was making the menorah that when he makes the menorah, any of the vessels of the Mishkan, those vessels aren't just physical vessels, but they're symbolism, they're symbols for spiritual concepts. For instance, we find the Ark, the Aron, represents the Torah. The table represents our livelihood, our source of food. And that representation actually means that each one of those vessels was a conduit for the blessings that we seek. So if the Shulchan represents the table, it represents sustenance, that means the Shulchan was the pipeline, the conduit, by which Hashem sent down the blessing of livelihood to the world. And nothing happens in the world without the Ribbono Shel Olam sending that energy into the world for it to happen. If there's going to be food in the world, the food's going to grow, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to send a blessing, a flow of energy into the world that things should grow. When we had the Shulchan, when we had that table in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, the table was the conduit for that. It was the conduit, it was the pipeline, the spiritual pipeline for that spiritual flow to come through to, in order for the Jewish people to have what they needed. Which meant that when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to now teach Bezalel and all the people about constructing the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu not only had to understand the physical formation of each vessel, he had to understand how each vessel is going to have the ability to be that conduit for the spiritual energy that has to go through it to bring about the blessing in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu it's not just to know what should the shulchan look like, how to make a table. What are the details? What should the table look like? Moshe Rabbeinu also has to understand how when you build the Mishkan, you should be able to imbue each vessel with its potential to be that means by which the blessing of Hashem will flow through, which is a spiritual energy. So what was the menorah representative of? What was the spiritual energy that the menorah was the conduit to bring to the Jewish people? So the Chafetz Chaim says that the menorah represented what a word that's called nitzchius, netzach, eternity. The eternity of the Jewish people flowed through the menorah. How do we know that? We know that because in the Hanukkah story, the commentary of the Bach brings down that when the Greeks decreed against the Jewish people before the Hanukkah miracle, they took away the service from the Beis HaMikdash. Right? One of the things that they stopped was the Karban Tumid. Right? Every day there was a continuous offering, both in the morning and in the afternoon. Every day a burnt offering, a offering for the entire nation twice a day. And that was called the Karban Tumid. And the Greeks stopped that. No more Karban Tumid. Another thing we know that they stopped was the lighting of the menorah. And what was it about the menorah that they went after? And it's brought down in a brisa from our sages that the Greeks understood in mitzvah achas yesh biyadan, the Jews have a mitzvah, im atem mevatlin oisei miyadam, if you take it away from them, kvar hei mevudim, they'll be lost. Without this mitzvah, they can't continue. The Eze, which mitzvah is that? Zehadlakas menorah, the lighting of the menorah. Shekasav ba'ap, for the Torah writes regarding the menorah, lahalois ner tamid, to bring up a ner tamid, which we translate as a constant candle, right? Because there was always a fire that constantly burned on the menorah. But it also means alos ner tamid. If you bring up the candle, the fire on the menorah, then you have tamid. Then you have continuity. Then you have the continuity of the Jewish people. The menorah had in it the power to make sure that Jewish people should survive. And therefore the Greeks took away that service in order to have the Jewish people not survive. So you see that the menorah represents the eternity of the Jewish people. The eternity of the Jewish people lies in the menorah. That's the conduit for that blessing, for that energy of continuity of the Jewish people. It goes through the menorah. Okay, so that means when Moshe Rabbeinu now is going to make the menorah, he has to be able to figure out how, he has to understand how to imbue the menorah to have that power, to be that conduit for the eternity of the Jewish people. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu has a big problem, right? He knows the Jewish people have to continue. But he knows that in the future, the Jewish people will be in exile. He knows they will be a minority against thousands of people trying to destroy them. And he doesn't understand, how are they going to survive? Even if the Rosh Hashanah tells them they're going to survive, but if he has to now be able to imbue the menorah with the ability to be the conduit for the survival of the Jewish people, then how is he going to do that? If he doesn't understand how that can be, if he doesn't understand the mechanics of it, so to speak, then he has a hard time being able to put that energy, that power, into the menorah. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says means that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out how to make the menorah. It wasn't the physical appearance of the menorah that was a problem, but it was the spiritual power, the spiritual potential of the menorah, the spiritual conduit it's meant to be. That's what Moshe was struggling with. How is that going to? How could it be? How is it going to work? How could it be that there will be this eternity of the Jewish people? How could it happen? And on that, the Rebbeinu Shlomo answered Moshe with a menorah of fire. The message to Moshe was that exactly what you think is the reason that the Jewish people can't survive, that's exactly how they survive. Fire represents destruction. So you think that the Jewish people, how could they survive all the destruction they're going to face in exile? The answer is the fire, destruction, the afflictions, the suffering that they have in exile, that's exactly what helps them exist. Because it's the suffering of exile that helps them become pure. It atones for their sins. It brings them to repent. This is a concept that we've mentioned many times before. Our suffering is meant to be a wake-up call in a form of atonement. If you want to purge something, you want to make something kosher, you want to purge it from the non-kosher substance absorbed into it. So one of the forms of purging is you heat it up. You burn it out. And the message that Hashem gave to Moshe was, you're struggling with all the suffering that they face. How can they be eternal with all the suffering they're going to face? The answer is, the suffering itself is exactly what is going to make them survive. And we know this from a Rashi in Parshas Nitzavim. In Parshas Kisavai, which precedes Nitzavim, we have all the curses that will befall the Jewish people if they rebel against Hashem. And the Medrash brings down, the Jewish people heard all those curses, and they turned green. And they said, how are we going to be able to survive such a thing? What did Hashem say? What did Moshe say? Moshe said, amongst other things, the suffering of the curses, that's exactly what will help you stand and be permanent with the Ribbono Shel Olam. These are the things that you need to go through as a people, to be purified, to be atoned for, and to be taught to do tshuva, to repent. You know, these are not easy concepts for us because when people go through suffering and you think about all the terrible ordeals, it's very difficult to see it in this way. But this is what our sages teach us. The suffering that we go through personally and nationally is really meant to be the way by which we are atoned for our sins. And that allows us to be able to continue. When we fall, when we start to fall spiritually in a terrible way, the only way that we can get ourselves back up, if we don't do it on our own, is through the suffering. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty about the menorah was as to how is he going to be able, how could he imbue the menorah with the power of eternity for the Jewish people when he doesn't understand how is that going to be possible? How could it be? How could it work? Hashem says to him, the menorah is, I'm going to show you all the details of the menorah, and remember the fire. Remember how that which you are wondering, how could the Jewish people survive through? That's exactly what's going to make them survive, because that suffering is what purifies them. And that is the message of the suffering we go through in Golus. At the same time, we say to Rabbeinu Shalom every day, redeem us, redeem us. We say to Rabbeinu Shalom, look, you know, we will try to make ourselves better. We will try, we see the suffering. We're going to take the lesson of the suffering. And as we'll try our best to be able to take the message of the suffering and redeem us. And perhaps asking the Rabbeinu Shalom, even before we repented, redeem us. When we ask for redemption, we have to be asking for redemption together with a commitment for tshuva, for repentance. That the two things have to go together. But the point is that we know, and we say this to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you are our redeemer. You are making sure constantly we should be redeemed. You are making sure that we should be able to exist for eternity until Mashiach comes. And then continue. And we ask for redemption each and every day. And we realize, and we ask for redemption, realizing that the suffering we go through is what we need to merit redemption. But at the same time, we ask for Hashem every time, every day, redeem us. We say to Hashem, we will repent, forgive us, and redeem us. And redeem us even if we're not worthy completely of being redeemed. But we ask you and we believe, Ki Goel Chazakata, you are a constant redeemer for us. And that's what we pray for every single day.